Namibia's business leader on Nova 103.5.
The BizNews Ramp is driven by the new Jeep Grand Cherokee 3.6L Limited. Experience the sophisticated side of adventure with premium features including interior, technology and comfort. Book your test drive today at M&Z Motors. M&Z Motors is proud to introduce the new Jeep Grand Cherokee 3.6L Limited. Experience the sophisticated side of adventure with premium features including interior, technology and comfort. Contact M&Z Jeep and Fiat Group today for your test drive or visit the M&Z Jeep and Fiat Group Facebook page and check out their great offers. Jeep, go anywhere, do anything.
Now at last week's Namibia Aviation and Connectivity Forum, David Bishop spoke to Airlink CEO Roger Forster about what the secret to their success is, their investment in Fly Namibia and what it means to both countries, and what his plans for the future are.
We're at the Namibia Aviation and Connectivity Forum, and I'm speaking to Mr. Roger Forster, the CEO of Airlink. Hello, Mr. Forster.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Well, thanks. And you?
Good, thank you.
You're speaking today on the topic, the future of African airlines through the eyes of those who got it right. So if I can be so bold, what is Airlink's secret?
Well, I think firstly one has to identify with what it is to get it right. What does getting it right mean? And I think for me, just that narrative speaks to the word success or successful. And that question has been asked many, many times. To what do we attribute the airline's success? I don't regard the airline as being successful. I think success means different things to different people. But what I do is cherish survival. And we've been able to face off adversity multiple times. Our longstanding business partner, South African Airways, going into business rescue was terribly adverse for us. It was a big financial shock to us because we took a massive blow to our balance sheet and to our cash flow. And then, of course, we had COVID, which we had to persevere. And then just after we started coming out of COVID, we had the Russia-Ukraine crisis, which has caused a massive blip in the price of fuel. So we've been able to stave off those adversities. And I think for me, the biggest barometer of our ability to survive is the fact that we did it in the context of so many that around us didn't survive. Mm-hmm. They failed. South African Airways went into business rescue. Comair went into business rescue and then failed now in final liquidation. Exactly the same with SA Express, Air Namibia the same, and many, many others, Mango, etc. So for me, it's about the fact that we have survived. And then when we start analyzing how did we survive, I think that we gathered our thoughts. We recognized the circumstances for what they were at the time. We communicated carefully, closely with all of our stakeholders, including our staff primarily, our financial stakeholders, our lessors, our suppliers, our shareholders, and most importantly, our customers. And we worked openly, honestly together with them, always looking after our staff. I'm very proud to say that through COVID and through all these other crises, we didn't make one single job redundant. Not one person lost their job at Airlink. We all took pain, you know, shoulder to shoulder. But so taking the theme forward, I mean, obviously Airlink is one of the survivors and we're very grateful for that. And I personally am extremely thankful to my team of people, which has now grown. I'm very happy to say it's grown from 1,750 to 2,000. Mm-hmm. So we've taken on 250 more jobs within our organization. And that's just literally as we've come out of COVID and we've been able to, you know, repurpose the business and expand our horizons into markets that we were not in before. I mean, it's a privilege that you can employ more rather than in the times that we've been through lose many jobs. So that's the one. And then I'm totally thankful to our customers, our travel trade partners, our financiers, our shareholders, and our lessors, you know. We've stood together and we've been able to see all this through. Taking it forward, I think that we need to understand that one of the key elements of survival is building a business at or above its critical mass. So there is an infrastructure that is required for an airline, a booking system, a revenue accounting system, a human resources department, a finance department, etc. Collectively, it all becomes your overhead. And one has to do the assessment financially, and this comes in the way of business plans, modeling, studies, etc. And I don't mean ramp modeling. I know everybody talks about runways and whatever. That's not the modeling. I'm talking about the mathematical, the financial modeling. But one has to establish revenue streams that not only exceed by far your cost of production, your direct variable costs of production, but that also contribute enough to your fixed costs and your overheads such that your overall revenue always exceeds your overall costs. Otherwise, you don't have a business. And I think that that's what we have to recognize going forward. Many small airlines in Southern Africa do not operate at or above their critical mass just because the infrastructure is too much of a burden and they cannot, doesn't matter what they do, generate enough revenue to cover that. And that's one of the things that we've been able to recognize within our organization. So we've built a vast network of destinations throughout the sub-region, including Namibia. We're very key to Namibia. You know, 4 daily services between Johannesburg and Windhoek, 3 between Cape Town and Windhoek, and then daily services between Johannesburg and Walvis Bay and between Cape Town and Walvis Bay. So, you know, we have built our business to 45 destinations, 56 routes throughout the sub-region, operating 63 aircraft with a staff complement of 2,000, moving 3.5 million passengers a month on 75,000 flights per annum. Did I say 3.5 million passengers per annum on 75,000 flights per annum? So the system has become quite vast. The beauty is that we are now in a position to collaborate with others, and those that can't easily achieve their critical mass, we can help them to achieve their critical mass. Obviously, we look at mutual benefit. We're not there for charity. But at the same time, we are there to open up air access, air bridges, gateways throughout the Southern African region, which is our domain. That's the way we see it. And collaborations are key to the survival of an industry going into the future in a conservative way, because what we don't want is where we had all of these airline failures before COVID, because they didn't fail because of COVID. We don't want to replicate the same scenario and basically go around in a big circle. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that whatever we do is totally sustainable, completely reliable, best on-time performance, the best value proposition to our customers. And the service delivery element of that is key. And then the customer is our king. Everything that we do is there because of the customer. That's it.
You mentioned partnerships, and the forum today is not your only involvement in Namibia. Obviously, you make mention. Airlink recently acquired 40% of Fly Namibia. What motivated that decision?
So we've invested in Fly Namibia, and we see Fly Namibia as a perfect case study of what we believe should happen and would happen in the way of collaborations. And I think that investing in the business is demonstrating that we're quite happy to have our skin in the game. Mm. This is a commitment from our perspective. And we see Fly Namibia has been blessed with a vast opportunity for growth of its network. We see destinations domestically within Namibia that are going to enjoy growth, economic growth, industrial development. Places like Lüderitz, Kitmanswip, I see is now on the map again, which is fascinating. But the ones that we're well aware of are Katima Mulilo from a tourism point of view, Ondangwa, Lüderitz because of the green hydrogen and the oil. And oil and gas, in other words, you know, the servicing of the platforms, helicopter transfers, etc., will all take place in Lüderitz. And then, of course, Walvis Bay. And Windhoek itself, because, you know, Namibia is a gem from a tourism point of view. It has been, it always has been, and it is iconic in so many ways. The people, so friendly. Namibia is, like, in a way, crime-free, and it is totally sanitized, clean. You don't find litter, potholes, the traffic lights work. You don't have altercations with the taxis, and you don't have car guards everywhere because things are normal here, which is actually quite awesome. So it is a tourism destination of note. And those are the reasons why we saw an opportunity with Fly Namibia domestically, but we also see a similar opportunity to connect the region from Windhoek to Victoria Falls, from Windhoek to Harare, from Windhoek to Lusaka, Windhoek to Luanda. And that's just, I'm defining days 1, 2, and 3 maybe. Week 2 and week 3 might be something different, and I don't talk about a day and a day. I talk about, you know, in the beginning it'll be simple, and then we'll grow this business organically. We'll put capital in, and the other shareholders will too. But that's the reason why we see an opportunity with Fly Namibia. We see Fly Namibia has got potential above its own resources. And I mean also, it doesn't really have the means to easily overcome its critical mass.
But if you get involved, they can.
Well, whether it's us or another, we think that we can help them to achieve their potential. And that's why we're here. You know, they'll be autonomous. We will provide certain intellectual property, booking systems, and revenue management, revenue accounting, those sorts of services we can provide because we've already got that infrastructure. They don't have to go out and acquire the same thing in parallel to what we've already got. So this is really just, you know, holding their hand, helping where we can, but not interfering in the day-to-day running of that business. That's their business. I mean, I doubt that we'd even sit on the board. We'd be a shareholder, but we'd provide services through technical support services agreements. And then it's up to them to best capitalize on the opportunity of availing of those services that we provide.
Other than the investment in Fly Namibia, are there any other plans for A-Link that you could tell us about?
I mean, obviously, we're very happy with the vast network system that we've got throughout the sub-region. We'd like to continue growing the network. There are other destinations that are on our radar screen and that we will be exploring over the next months, at least 3 more destinations. I can't say which ones they are at this point in time. But it's also about the relationships that we've got and carry on nurturing with some of the world's biggest airlines like Qatar and Emirates and Lufthansa and British Airways, and then the 2 North American airlines that are operating to Southern Africa, United and Delta and Air France and KLM. And there's a lot. We've got 25 interline relationships and 3 code share relationships, and those 3 will turn to 6 by the end of this year, which is now. And the reason why we've got these relationships is because we have a network system, and our network system is local and regional. The source markets for the destinations within our network are not necessarily within the network. There are some, like Cape Town, for example, is a strong source market for many destinations within our network. But the strongest source markets come from all over the world, North America, you know, United States of America and Canada, the United Kingdom, Europe, Scandinavia, and then, of course, the Middle East. And the Middle East connects the world to the world, and more the reason why we have relationships with the Middle Eastern carriers. So that's what's on the horizon, is to nurture those relationships and build on them, and then gradually, within our means, look at how we can expand the network system within the sub-region and possibly beyond intra-Africa for now. And the most important consideration is, you know, COVID sapped our energy and SAA compromised our balance sheet. So we need to understand those. And our early mission is to restore the equity that we had on our balance sheet. We are a profitable organization. We're solvent and we're liquid, which I think are very important things in terms of your financial credibility and your integrity. We don't have debt. I think debt has been the cause of the demise of so many airlines that just simply ran out of energy to overcome the debt. So we're very fortunate in the position that we find ourselves at the moment. The biggest capital asset that we've got within our organization, aside from the fact that we don't have debt on the balance sheet, is our human capital. You know, our talent within our organization is incredible. And for me, it's been a great privilege to be the custodian of the organization in the way of the chief executive, which I've now been for 30 plus years. And, you know, when I take a look at the energy, the passion, the talent, the determination within our organization, that is our biggest capital asset.
So you talk about 30 years. How long is that going to continue for? What's next?
Well, I doubt that it'll be another 30. But, you know, as long as I have a reason to get up very early in the morning, I'm an early riser, half past four, quarter to five, I'm up out of bed and get going. And I'm normally the last one to go and turn the lights off in the offices when I leave in the evening. You know, one has to think about, you know, succession planning and the next generation, which have got, you know, possibly more energy and more passion and more knowledge. You know, we're in a digital age and we're in the age of innovation. And I'm not saying that I can't work a cell phone. I can. Any other smart device, I can. I've flown aeroplanes for 36 years. And, you know, that technology leads so many other technologies. But I think that at some point I do need to recognize that the youngsters in the organization have got the capability of taking the company to the heights that I don't want to be an anchor to. You know, they must be the wings of the organization. And I'm ready to do that whenever that feels right for not just myself, but the other stakeholders, because a lot of the stakeholders, you know, depend on the stability of the company and together with its institutional knowledge, which a lot of which is invested in myself. So the shareholders and the directors will tell me when the time is right. We have these discussions often because I am conscious of the fact that I've been there for more than 30 years as the CEO. And, you know, when the time is right for them, you know, that will be, I'll be very happy that I do have adequate succession planning in place. Very capable people that have got incredible talent.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
The BizNews Wrap is driven by the new Jeep Grand Cherokee 3.6L Limited. Experience the sophisticated side of adventure with premium features including interior, technology, and comfort. Book your test drive today at M&Z Motors.
Gary Struble on the Business Report.